Need to get an automatic one like the that they have at the Oscars and stuff. Program will raise and lower. So thank you everyone for being here. Thank you to Joan and Chris for the invitation. Thank you to all the folks at White Whale for existing. Joan had mentioned that I have a poetry chapbook that is coming out, and that is from Finishing Line Press. It's called Of a Mother. And I am extremely proud of it and extremely excited to have it coming out. For those of you who are here in the room, I do have postcards along with all of the other books that are there that has ordering information. So feel free to grab one of those. And for anyone who's on the Zoom, it is at finishinglinepress.com. So the first three pieces I'm going to read are from Of a Mother. And this was a collection that came about looking at the passing of my mother from leiomyosarcoma. Can everyone hear me in the back? Okay, good. Terminal lucidity. The school kids down the street from my house draw robots, hopscotch, flowers, dragons on the pavement. When the rain comes, there's a moment when the lines of dust bloom, come alive. Color pops against the soaked stone, turning cheap chalk into spring, summer, saturated, glowing, before they're washed away. It's called terminal lucidity, a period of lightness and health before the person starts to die for real. On that Monday, you talked all day, drank the chocolate milk I made, washed your afternoon soaps, laughed with the nurse who sponge bathed you, rubbed orange vanilla lotion into your skin. You slept soundly all afternoon until the color of your urine turned to brown. You were all sky blue and yellow then, your star tattoo, your cotton sheets, a touch of white, the last bits of hair on your head, and gold somewhere in your shrunken body and tired heart. Equilibrium. Your hand is the only warm thing about you, 3 hours later, lying in mine, as I sit by your bedside and watch you start to die even more. You stopped breathing long ago, your lungs quiet to the naked eye, but your body is still moving in the places I can't see. Your blood moves down your body, pooled by gravity, leaves purpling bruises on your legs, the undersides of your arms. Your eyes are closed. We have no cotton strip for your jaw, so it hangs open a little, the way it did when you slept, breathing through your mouth in the night. I am fascinated by it, for I start to see you as not yourself, but as your body. How a body can change even when dead. How movement can occur separate from life, guided by forces bigger than the sorrow we shared. Heat moving out from your skin, heat moving in from my hand to yours, keeping pink against the sallow yellow of the rest of you, keeping it soft against the new gradual stiffening, keeping it able to hold me a little longer. And this last piece is called The Slide of Water. From the book, not the lesson we read today. The Slide of Water. Sometimes I wish you had been buried. You died in fire, complaining to the last that the hospice room was too hot. You were cremated, all the moisture torn from your brittle bones you relied on. You never felt this slide of water across your bones your dead skin, felt the cool embrace of earth, a touch of rainwater on your brow, a cold compress on feverish flesh, a bed of moss and earth and roots to hold you as you sagged, the support you had wished for all your life, yet pushed away, too proud, too afraid to ask for a soft, nourished, watered place where you could truly fall apart down to your bones, where no one would berate you, no one would shame you, only gently lay you down until you were still. So again, those are three pieces from Of a Mother, from Finishing Line Press, and that is going to be coming out at the end of September. You could buy a copy now. Next few pieces are some new things that I'm working on about chronic illness and body work. And this is the title of the poem, Body Work. When we first started, you could barely touch me. Fingers barely slipping over skin, my flesh as hard as an unripe pear, but filled with the pain of blackened bananas, prickly pears, pineapple leaves. I don't even remember all of that first massage, just your hand on my back in the darkness, my face on the head pillow, and the radiance of soreness through me, so full of heat you could have warmed yourself at it. There is a limit as to how much healing the body can take at one time, eventually pulsing down to a pulp, to a terrible brown, soft spot, mealy and mushy and so, so terrible. You could barely touch me then. I could barely touch myself. Why would I, as I rotted from the inside out? But you knew better. You knew that I wasn't fruit, but living meat that could grow more tender with the pushing and pulling. You knew where all my fibrous strings were knotted up, tensed in animal fear. Knew that where the pain was felt was not where the pain truly came from. Knew that the pain came from staying still too long or stretching myself too hard, reaching for something I knew was out of my grasp. He worked on one spot here, one there, letting each space rest before coming back to it. More tender than before, but more pliable, like stiff leather, worked and oiled and smoothed until it could bend and flex, easily shaped into a new skin to live in. So this is what happens, I bring too many poems. I'll do these two. So this one is A Golden Shovel, and that is a form that Terrence Hayes came up with using the works of Gwendolyn Brooks. So this is A Golden Shovel after Gwendolyn Brooks's My Dreams and Works Must Wait Till After Hell. What light comes? I don't want to unknow anymore. I don't want to search my heart for half-assed solutions, dig for my dreams like a rifling through a junk drawer. When will my soul decide what grand works it wants to build, what coliseums or pyramids? I must not succumb to ordinary waiting, sitting at the bus stop for a ride that will never come. I must till my own soil now, slip seeds into sweet earth, learn what light comes after leaving the darkness of hell. And I'll read one more. And again, thank you to everyone involved in this reading series, in this place, in the world of poetry. Buddha. It was the smile that did it for me, upturned at the edges, as if marked a little harder by the playmaker, lips wide and full, as befitting a man from India. the smile that got me to buy the sculpture from Casablanca, the hippie global store in Squirrel Hill, Asian folks and Jewish folks passing outside while I stood in the very back, surrounded by glass lanterns, swirling tapestries, Palo Santo, looking for something for my altar, my gahamzin in the plastic butsudan I got from the Buddhist center, sitting on my cheap bookshelf, flanked by only a few candles, a tiny bell, atop a copy of a liturgy I'd chanted over and over that one terrible summer in my house, on the bus, at work, everywhere I could to keep myself from going crazy, the pressures of my life building faster than I could chant, finally collapsing for 11 days in the psych ward, the words of Buddha and the words of therapy carrying me forward, walking into a healthier way, walking into the store where I held the sculpture in my hands, turning it over and over, peering at the detail of the carving, his friendly lips, his kinky curls, his long flexible fingers, his halo of paste and flowers, his eyes still closed, smiling all the while, as if to say, take me home, and someday, when the time is right, I will open my eyes, and you will be ready. Thank you, everybody. I think that was one sentence. Thank you.